You are listening to Rift Overcast.
It's our game. Not the one we made, it's the one we play.
The team here plays the game a lot.
We really think differently about MMOs than what a lot of people do.
Our game isn't the game it was a year ago.
This game changes all the time. Since launch, we've been non-stop planning on what to do next.
It's all about listening to the players.
Hello, welcome to Rift Overcast. My name is Matt, and with me I have Joe.
Hello.
Going to go over some stuff, such as a couple concepts for a raid finder. I've seen a couple people asking for a raid finder. Going to go over that. Going to go over some leaderboards and what happened to the Infernal Dawn content that came out. First, let's go over the poll results. Last week, I simply asked listeners, how satisfied are you with patch 1.8? Out of 13 voters last week, didn't have as many on this one as we normally do, but out of the 13 voters, 8 of them said I love it, 4 of them said mostly satisfied, and 1 said it's good but missing a lot. None of the 13 voted for disappointed or that they hate it. I don't think anybody really hates 1.8. I think the people that think that 1.8 is missing stuff is probably mostly the PvPers. Now, before we get into the discussion topics for today, I just kind of, like, what have you been up to, Joe? Because we don't talk about, really, what we've been doing. Like, you know, we're always critiquing the changes that are coming out and just kind of speculating, giving our opinions. And, you know, just for the record, these are just our opinions on stuff that we give on the show. Just kind of, like, thinking ahead and just kind of trying to be objective and look at this stuff from all angles. But, I mean, we don't really talk about us much. So, I mean, I know you've been really busy this week, Joe, but have you managed to get anything done on Rift lately?
I managed to sign on and talk in guild chat.
Are you getting any of your Ember Isle stuff done?
Nah, I really. Next week is probably when I'll get back into the swing of things. This week I'll be super busy and I barely have enough time to do this recording. And last week I was sick. Pretty much from right after we recorded until like Sunday, I would say.
I thought you might have sounded a little stuffy last week.
Yeah, there was definitely the beginning of a pretty terrible cold.
Well, I haven't been on much over the course of the week. But I did pretty much 24 hours straight of just playing Rift on my cleric. Yesterday? I'm all screwed up because I stayed up for 24 hours and now my clock is all messed up and I have no clue what day it is. I just know that it has to be Wednesday because we always do our recordings on Wednesday. So I know today is Wednesday if you're listening. Today's actually Friday. That's just going to screw me up even more. Thinking that like the people listening to this are actually going to listen to this on Friday. So when I say today is Wednesday, it's going to be wrong in 2 days when they actually hear this.
It's common knowledge that we record on Wednesday, though.
Well, yeah, but then that on top of the fact that I'm already confused about, like, what day it was. Was it Monday that I did my 24 hours, or was it Tuesday? I don't know. Anyways, I pretty much went on a marathon because I hadn't been on Rift for a while. I've been doing some show stuff. I've been really busy with just real life stuff going on, and I've just been dying to get back into the flow of things on Rift. So I did, let's see, River of Souls, I did, I tanked a Drowned Halls, which that was a lot of fun. I gotta tell you, Joe, I might actually tank for our raid. We get these raids going eventually, which we say that like every episode, like, we're gonna get our raids going eventually. We'll get the raids going eventually. We haven't put a lot of effort into recruiting for them yet, but that's mostly because Joe's been a little bitch and can't handle a cold and so, I got a runny nose, I can't play a game.
I'm not going to respond to that.
Come on, dude. I'm just trolling you. But yeah, I tanked the DH. I'm having a lot of fun with Justicar right now. I'm running a 51-point Justicar, and I was 12 points Inquisitor and 3 points Shaman. I recently changed over to, instead of 12 points Inquisitor, everything else is the same, and then I'm 12 points Purifier, which I actually like a lot better, at least for 5-mans. I think in a raid environment, though, the passive bonuses that I would get for running 12 points Purifier would be overridden by some of the other raid buffs, like the armor buffs, and I'm not sure if like the Bard's armor buff will stack with the proc from Purifier. I'd have to look into that stuff, but I'm actually curious to look into that stuff. But I did an ROS, I did a DH, I did a Rise of the Phoenix, so I did the first two bosses of Rise of the Phoenix. Rise of the Phoenix is pretty hard, you know, by the way, Joe. I haven't actually spent a lot of time in that place, but I've been in there a couple of times now with some bugs, and I haven't been able to do more than the first two bosses. And they say that you really need to be at about 12,000 raid DPS to get the last boss down. And good portion of the raid that I was in, the people were in like tier one raid gear or better. A lot of them we even had a few people that were like full hammer now. There were a couple of people from Aegis. I don't know how many listeners are familiar with Aegis, but they're pretty much the top raid guild on Deepwood. I know that they're pretty high up in the rankings too, although I don't think that they've submitted their data to Rift Strat, so. But yeah, that place is actually really hard.
Well, that's cool. That's something to look forward to.
Like, the second boss throws these pulsing fire AoEs out all over the ground, and there was a bug before that made that guy really easy the first time I did it, and it wasn't all that bad. Because there was something that you had to interrupt. I forget the name of it. And then there's another ability called Leaping Flames that basically just is a damage that jumps between players really quickly. And you just have to heal through the Leaping Flames, kill the ad, and interrupt the one AoE, and the rest of the fight's pretty damn easy. And you just stack together, and you can avoid all the pulsing fire AoE if you stood in a certain spot, because the pulsing fire would never spawn in that spot, and they changed that. And since they changed that, that was actually really hard, because when I was in there yesterday, or last night, whatever, we were getting, like, scrambling to try to stay together and still find a safe spot to stand in. So that was fun. I got a relic shield, Joe.
Oh, nice.
On my cleric, yep. I got Alzbeth's shield. I forget the name of the shield off the top of my head, but I got that, so I'm pretty stoked about that. I also picked up my Hammernail chest piece yesterday, and I picked up the second best seal that you can get. So I've got a plus 30 wisdom seal with a 9 spell power rune on it.
Yeah, I'll be crafting mine probably, as soon as I get back in the swing of things next week. I already have all the materials.
You're going to go straight for the plus 33 one, right?
Well, that really depends. We were going to talk about earlier how expensive the unstable catalysts are. If they go down in price, I will. If not, I'll just make the lesser one.
Yeah, well, on that note, unstable catalysts are apparently to drop in Hammernail now. Or can drop in Hammernail now. I'm not sure if you can get them from the trash or if it's only from the bosses. But if they're dropping in Hammernail, especially if they're dropping off of trash, chances are that the chance for them to drop is relatively low, but probably high enough that this will bring the cost of the unstable catalyst down. Because once they become a drop, if you have access to Hammernail, I mean, you could even go in with a pug and just, like, farm the trash if they drop off trash.
Yeah.
So that'll bring the cost of seals down overall. I think the cheapest plus 33 seal on the Deepwood Auction House, the cheapest one is, like, 600 platinum, at least for the Wisdom one, which is just completely absurd. And that's why I bought the second best one, because I don't actually have any professions finished on my guarding characters except for my apothecary and my mage, which I haven't spent any time working on at all because I decided to play the cleric instead of the mage, So she doesn't have any craftsman marks or anything like that, so there's nothing I can really make, like, craft or trade or anything like that for the seal. So I just was like, well, I can spend 600 platinum, which I don't have anyway, or I can spend 50 platinum because I bought my second best one for 50 platinum that had a plus 5 wisdom augment on it. And then I ruined it for another plus 9. So that'll be good, And then when we start doing Hammernail and stuff, because I think we'll go straight into Hammernail when we get to raiding, then I'll be able to do the plus 33 one with my own choice for augments and such.
Yeah, that's what I hope to do. I hope that the price drops. But if not, I'll craft the 25 one for the time being. It's really not that big of a drop off.
How many Greater Marks of Ascension do you have? Because you haven't spent any of yours yet. I was really tempted to use 50 out of... I had 106, I think, last night, Greater Marks of Ascension. And I was really tempted to use 50 to buy an unstable catalyst. But I decided to go ahead and get my chest and then just spend the platinum on a slightly worse seal. But, I mean, you can actually craft yours. So have you considered spending your 50... Gmoa on a catalyst?
No, not really. I think if I remember correctly, I have around 27, but I have like 5 or 6 saved up, daily experts. So that's at the very least 10 to 12, additional ones. And that's assuming none of them proc from the guild perk to get a third. And I'm going to get to 50 and buy boots before anything else. I need the gear more than anything else. So I don't believe like 8 endurance, because that's literally what it is, over the 25 endurance one is worth that much of a commitment.
Why are you going for the boots first?
Because I'm, you know, we had talked about last week, we were both surprised by the change with the Infernal Dawn marks, and I'd already committed prior to 1.8 to getting my boots, and then I was going to go, I believe I was going to go Shape Marks of Ascension, but now I'm basically going to get the 50 Greater Marks of Ascension, buy my boots, and then decide what I'm going to start getting at that point. I might still do Marks of Ascension, because now it's even, you know, even easier to get them. And since, like you said earlier, putting Shane to Hammer now, it would be really beneficial, obviously, to get as much Tier 1 stuff. So, you know, we can essentially hop over the Tier 1 content, you know, through doing weeklies and whatnot by plugging the stuff and, you know, gathering gear for Infernal Dawn Marks or Infernal Marks of Ascension, whatever I call them, would be nice. But I think it's going to take me too long. I think it would be more beneficial to me to do Marks of Ascension, strictly because of how much time it would take to gather them.
You thinking, like, you're going to basically, like, spend your 50, like, Greater Marks of Ascension, and then... Oh, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say I wouldn't even bother with Marks of Ascension at all. I think they're completely useless as far as choosing them from the bonuses, because it's so easy to pug. You have Greenscale's Blight, River of Souls, Guild of Prophecy, and Drowned Halls. All four of those give Marks of Ascension. All four of those are easily pugged, and you're already overgeared for those. Like, you already outgear those places. Because don't you already have some T1 pieces, plus you have your full four-piece crafted set with shield and everything?
Yeah, I have Tier 1 helmet, which I bought, and then when we did a John Hall's about 10 days ago or so, I got, you know, Tier 1 legs. Well, they're not part of my Tier 1 set, but, you know, they're equivalent to Tier 1 content legs. And I'll get my boots. I'll probably get my boots by the end of next week at the top, the latest, rather. And, you know, those are Tier 2 boots because they're greater marks.
Altogether, your gear's already pretty good. Like, I think spending anything on Tier 1 at this point, and for probably really any player that's filled out some crafted stuff, like, I was actually having this conversation in general chat on Deepwood last night. There's not even really much reason to do experts anymore, aside from the random experts. Like, that's it. Because the gear from the experts, I mean, you just get your crafted stuff, and you get maybe just enough gear that you're making, like, hit requirements, and then you go pug raids. That's it. Yeah. Do raid rifts, pug raids, get your essences, farm and scribe source stone. Probably don't even have to do experts at all, really, because you can just farm and scribe source stone, get a couple of the missing pieces from the Planet Conqueror set, you know what I mean? And just fill out your gear and go straight to pug raids, and then, boom, your T1 gear. I mean, like, everybody I see now has at least T1 raid gear. They should just add, like, a raid finder for this stuff. Like, seriously. I did want to talk about that a little bit because it got brought up in general chat while I was playing yesterday, and I really see no reason why we shouldn't have a raid finder. I know there was a lot of controversy about raid finder and that other game, but the difference is that if they did a raid finder in Rift, I wouldn't want them to, and I don't think that they would allow raid finder to function to find you a group for Hammernail or Infernal Dawn or Rise of the Phoenix. It would only be the truly outdated stuff, which Tryon obviously recognizes this content is being obsoleted, if you will, because these are the places that the weeklies are based off of. I mean, why would they give you a weekly if they didn't think you could just roll through the place?
And also, the other difference from that other game is it was a third difficulty in the other game. You know, there was normal, heroic, and Raid Finder being definitely the easiest by a pretty wide margin. You know, obviously, we don't want another difficulty in this game, so Raid Finder would still be the same difficulty. And like you said, it would be outdated content. But, you know, I always have fear with things like this. Like, I'm the same way as you. I don't want to ever... You know, I pretty much make it like a staple thing where, you know, as content came out, they implemented something like this, it would basically always be two tiers behind, you know? Like, if something... Like, assuming Crucia comes out after Infernal Dawn, then I would say Hammernail could be accessed through this. So it's always two, you know, tiers of content behind. And my only fear with this is, like, how I fear anything that does stuff like this, you know, that makes it a little more easier, is that I never want to expand and become more prevalent, you know, to make the game more casual and whatnot. I don't know if that would ever happen, basically simply because of Tryon and their desire, what they want to do with the game and their, you know, perspective. But I never put anything past any developer, so that's really my only fear with any feature like this.
I don't know. I think they'd be smart about it, because it's not like there's a Rise of the Phoenix or a Hammernail weekly that you can do. You know what I mean? So, like I said, they recognize what content is basically trivial at this point, and I mean, these first four raids, the tier one raids, they're only ever getting pugged anyway. They're easy as hell, and people mostly only do them for the weeklies at this point too. You know, some people with alts or brand new players are doing them to pick up easy marks of ascension and get tier one gear, because tier one gear is basically like the new skirmisher set. You know, it's the new tier two expert set, the dungeon set.
Yeah.
Nobody's bothering with dungeon set anymore. You're spending plaques of achievement on planar attunement points, planar attunement experience now. That's all I'm ever using mine for, even on my warrior. When I get my warrior to 50, that's all I'm going to use those for. I'm not even going to bother with anything else.
I really think they should remove how there's two tiers of dungeon gear now. It made more sense when there's two tiers of experts, and you know it was a slow, and you know those less tiers of rating too. So now it's almost stupid because the first tier of dungeon gear is so terrible, it's like marginally better than like questing gear. So I really think this is just like, you know, make it so you hit 50 and you go right into experts and use all of those plaque shit on the tier 2 dungeon gear, or they would just make it, you know, dungeon gear, there wouldn't be any tier to it. And then from there, then you go straight to raid gear.
I could definitely see them getting rid of the first tier of the dungeon expert set, because I think that tier is pretty useless when you can craft stuff better. I mean, even before the crafting set that came out with like Hammernail, you know, with the set bonus attached to it, like the Deathbringer stuff and whatever, even before that came out, the previous stuff that you could craft was still better anyways, because you can augment it, and the augments made it that much better. Like my mage, who is still in pretty fresh 50 gear, she has like 200 plaques of achievements sitting on her ass, and I don't really have anything to spend them on with her. She has Robes of the Flowing Dark, which is like a really crappy, you know, first thing that you can craft when you ding 50 kind of armor, but it's decently itemized, and it has a really good spell power augment on it, which makes it better than any of the T1 stuff I could buy. So I could see them getting rid of that, and then maybe either increase or, hell, maybe even just decrease the cost of the tier 2 expert stuff. But it is nice to have the cheaper option, though, for people, because you have to think that not everybody is trying to just get into raiding. So when they hit 50, their first instinct isn't going to be, I got to gear up. And they're just going to go into getting Marks of Ascension, which is insanely easy to do, but they might not want to do that. They might not want to deal with 19 other people that they don't know. And instead, they can only deal with 4 other people that they don't know. And they can just do the expert dungeons and pick up the, you know, the tier 2 dungeon gear and then go do like Ember Isle and stuff. So I think it's important to have it there as an option, but I would definitely agree with getting rid of the tier 1 versions of that stuff.
They could always lower the cost of tier 2. So like I said, there won't be any tiers, just be dungeon gear. And they could just make it as low as the first tier. I mean, I really don't see any danger doing that. Like you said, people are doing all the tier 1 raids easily enough. It's not going to make it any worse if they make it like that, you know, even more accessible than it is. Honestly, at this point, it's just really stupid, a waste of time, honestly, how long, and you know, how you require the first tier of the dungeon gear to upgrade to tier 2 and stuff like that. People aren't going to want to go through that now, because it's almost like it holds you back for a little while, because, you know, and like you said, like, some people are almost deterred from getting the dungeon gear. They just go out and get other gear and jump right into raids instead.
Yeah, I almost thought you said that they weren't fishing on time. I was like, I didn't put anything about fishing in the patch notes. I do like the fishing, by the way, though. Just, we're a quick off topic. It's, it's fishing, right? So, I mean, how exciting can fishing really be? I mean, like, our guildmate and a good friend of ours, Jess, was listening to audiobooks while she was fishing, and she was really enjoying that. But, yeah, I mean, fishing in an MMO, cast the line, click the lure, get the fish. Wow, that was amazing! Tryon did actually make a couple of really, really nifty, just kind of like finishing touches, I think, on it. Like, for example, Jess actually thought that it would be better to just quickly get the fish. But, you know, I actually kind of like that when you cast your lure, right, and you get the fish and you see the water ripple out, your cursor will change to a fish icon, and then you can just left click anywhere on the screen. As long as your cursor is the fish icon, you left click anywhere on the screen or hit your fishing pole icon again on the action bar, and you'll start to try to reel the fish in. Now, if you fail at the first time, the fish doesn't get away right away, and your character kind of struggles with the fish. And then you just got to kind of watch it and be ready for that little icon to show up, and then you can click it again. And I don't think I've let more than like one or two fish get away. And it's not very difficult to do that, but it's just nifty, I think, to, nice little finishing touch that that you can kind of fight with the fish a little bit.
Well, I was happy they implemented this and survival as well. I liked having like a cooking equivalent, you know, they had in the other game. It also, you know, adds another level for professions and whatnot and stuff to farm and whatnot. So I remember they did stuff like this. There's nothing like groundbreaking or anything, but it's a nice little touch.
Another nice touch that they did with fishing too. Most people are probably, well, I shouldn't say most, but I'll bet a lot of people are max fishing right now, because I know I've already seen a lot of people that are max fishing, and there's already a lot of the good raid food and stat food and stuff that's on the auction house, because I bought like a stack of 20 when I was doing when I was tanking last night on my cleric, because I'm still working on finishing his tank sigil, you know? So yeah. I've got about, I think, 16,000 hit points self-buffed right now, and that was with the raid food, so I bought the stat food off the auction, which it wasn't too bad. I think it was like 2 plat or like 2.5 plat for a stack of 20, which really isn't bad at all. So that's definitely good. But you know, something that they did with the fishing is that the lures actually never run out. You know, unlike what you might be used to with fishing, where a lure will increase your chances of catching something. You know what I mean? They just basically decrease your chances of catching trash or whatever. The lures in Rift are actually, some of them can make it so that you will only catch something specific. Like, I think there's an epic lure that will make it so that you can only ever catch artifacts.
That's nice.
There's another one that increases your chances of finding treasure. I don't think it guarantees that you will find treasure every time, but it increases your chances of finding treasure. So there's a few of them kind of like that, like down that same... You know, I don't remember all of them, but there's a few of them that's down that same kind of path, which is really cool. So if you're, you know, just a pure artifact whore, I mean, you don't have to go fishing for fish and making food. You can go fishing for artifacts.
Yeah, totally. Just kidding, because artifact hunting, I remember when we first played this game, like, really intrigued me. But I think when I hit 50, it fell to the bottom of the list of priorities.
You know, I wish that they would add more artifacts and puzzles. I mean, well, they did a pretty good job with the artifacts, but I guess... Maybe it's the terrain doesn't really give them a lot of good hiding spots for artifacts. It's just kind of like you just see random shiny. I don't know. I never really went out artifact hunting, like, specifically. You know what I mean? I just always kind of picked them up along the way. But it could probably be a lot of fun to just go out and artifact hunt, I think, too. I still kind of want to do that. But the thing that I would have more fun doing is zone puzzles. You brought up the artifacts and stuff. And, well, I brought up the artifacts, but you brought up, you know, the artifact hunting wasn't as exciting as we were first hyped up for it to be. And the puzzles are actually still really cool. It made me think of those. I want them to add more of that. Like, I liked that. I liked when I randomly, I remember when I was leveling, you know, my Defiant, for example, and I just started climbing the cliffside of Stonefield. And then I came across, like, all these little telescopes, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And I first thought it was for, like, some quest. So I went back to town, did all my quests and stuff. I'm like, I didn't get a quest for that. I'm going back to it. And I couldn't find it again. And I was like, what the hell? So I finally found it. And I discovered it was a freaking puzzle. And I realized, oh, this one stays on for less time than this one and whatever. I want to see more of that stuff. More reasons to scale the edges of the mountains or go down in the deeper lakes and stuff. And try and see what you can, you know, see what you can solve. Like, you remember when we were leveling the Guardian characters, dude? When we went through Gloomfield?
Yep. I remember that.
We were coming back from Star Wars The Old Republic, right? And in Star Wars, they have Datacrons, and the Datacrons usually in, like, way out the way places that you have to do all kinds of platforming stuff to get to, and the puzzles in Rift are very well hidden, but we were just coming back from Star Wars, so we kind of overthought how to get to this puzzle in Gloomwood, because we knew whereabouts it was, but we weren't sure how to get up to, right, it was the top of the tower. We couldn't figure out how to get up to the top, because that was, like, the only entrance in.
Yeah, I remember that. And I went to, like, Ironpoint Peak.
Yeah.
And died.
We went all the way around at, like, level 20, mind you. Took the elevator up near the water wheel up the side of the mountain, up the side of the cliff, up to Ironpoint Peak at level 20. Tried to sneak past the level 41s that are right at the start there. Go up, climb up the mountainside on the Iron Pine Peak side, and come over and come at Gloomwood from the back, like from the top of Gloomwood to come down onto the puzzle. And me and Joe spent like, we seriously must have spent like an hour and a half, 2 hours, just because we just overthought that so much, you know, trying to like come at it from like the mountainside. And then randomly Joe's like, oh dude, what's this? Saw something sparkling. It's like, oh, dude, just click that tablet and it teleports us inside. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me?
It's kind of funny, too, because now, like, there's been at least 3 or 4 puzzles since then that have the same thing where you click on something to teleport you somewhere. And every time I, like, chuckle because I remember the Glowmwood puzzle.
I'm never going to forget how much we overthought the Glowmwood puzzle. That was ridiculous. So let's talk about leaderboards because it's definitely a cool concept. I like stat tracking of sorts. Some people like it. Some people don't. Some people don't care. It is basically an EPing contest. I mean, no matter how you feel about the leaderboards, it basically is an EPing contest. It's just a big slash played. But, I mean, I think Tryon put a lot of work into this stuff. So I really think it's worth mentioning, you know. There's also some confusion about how the leagues and the divisions work. And I was a little confused, too, because the divisions are named after, like, different Rift characters or zones or whatever, kind of like, you know, the same naming scheme that they use for servers. And I didn't know what being in, like, a Crucia division would mean. To clarify this for people, the divisions are actually random. I believe I read on a... Shit, I forget which site it was. One of the sites that there's been several articles on the whole leaderboards thing and the leagues and divisions and whatever. And one of the sites said that each division is 100 people, which I think that's right. I don't have my game up right now, so you could check it on the interface because the leaderboard window will actually show you, you know, all of the players in that division and should be the same in each division, I'm pretty sure. But it breaks people up into about 100 players so that you're not competing against everybody for whatever stats you're going for, but the division part is random. The leagues are not random. The leagues are bronze, silver, gold, platinum, and diamond, and the better medal you're on, you know, everybody knows what the order of progression at those ranks look like, bronze, silver, gold, etc. You're placed into those based on your play time, you know, based on how many points you have, essentially, like, towards the leaderboards. But it's based on, its goal is to make it so that you're competing against players that have a similar contribution. Like, if I play, you know, 2 hours a day, every day of the week, then I'm going to be put into a league that is going to reflect that as you know, along with other people that are playing similar amounts.
That way you're not, like, you know, it's not an unfair advantage. People will just, you know, put an insane amount of time into the game.
Yeah. And, you know, I brought up leaderboards. I wanted to clarify that for some people. I really like the leaderboards. And I just want to say that because so many people are like, oh, these leaderboards are just so trivial. Like, it's because it's just a slash played. I still think it's fun. I'm not going to, like, specifically go for specific categories, like, personally. Like, I'm not going to specifically compete on the leaderboards, but it's still kind of fun to just kind of play my normal routine and then pull up the leaderboard every so often each week and be like, hey, where did I fall in this week? Like, right now my cleric is number 3 for PvE group stuff, which is just kind of one of those fun things to look at. But I think that leaderboards, to be honest, I think it's a plug for future stuff, because this is something that Tryon can really build off of. You know, like, why would they go through all this trouble for leagues and divisions and all this stuff just to have a stat tracker, and that's all it is? I think it's going to be more than that.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I actually kind of hope it expands, you know? It's kind of, I mean, it's a nice thing, but it's nothing, like, huge, or I don't go on every day, like, oh my god, what's my place in a leaderboard? So if it ever evolves into something more prevalent and better, I think that's better for the overall health of the game.
I bet that there are people like that, too, that sign in and they're like, where am I on leaderboards? I lose a spot, and then they go out and they farm some stuff to try to get their spot back.
Well, see, I could see that happening down the road if they expand it. Though I do think there are people that do that now, but I think it would be a more commonplace thing if they expanded it, like you said.
There has been a little concern on the forums. Seen a couple of posts about this, so I'm not sure how big of a concern this actually really is for people, but I mean, it's definitely a valid concern, and that is the concept of bots, of people using bots, especially for something like phishing. It's something really easy to write a bot for. And people are concerned that, like, the top 3 or the top 30, I would have to find the post again. But people are concerned that that bots are going to completely corrupt the leaderboards. And I think that's a valid concern. I haven't paid enough attention to what the players around me are doing to tell you what my observation is as far as the population of bots go. But it's not the first time that we've heard about bots in Rift. It there was a big issue about that in PvP, and I think there still is. I don't think there's as many bots as there was, say, 6 months ago. But there's a lot of bots in PvP too. The bots will come out, they'll run a rotation, they'll die, and they just keep doing the same thing, and they do this random, like, the same slash yell, like, every time they kill somebody, and you're like, oh, that must be a player. But it's just a scripted bot doing something, you know? And I wonder if Tryon's gonna, I mean, they have to do something about it, but I wonder if they actually have, like, an active plan to just completely purge bots from the game.
I hope so, because I've spotted quite a few bots in this game, to be honest. So I hope they do, you know, do a better job at cleaning them out.
They would definitely have to do something if they ever want to take leaderboards past where it's at right now. That would be, like, the first issue that they would have to deal with, is make it so that you cannot bot the leaderboards, because otherwise it does make it completely pointless. So I hope that this isn't as big of an issue as some people might think it is. Like I said, I can't really make an accurate observation on the actual population of bots in Rift, which, really, if I can't make even an educated guess as to how serious the bots are, then at least on our server Deepwood, it can't be that bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge issue. I see them in spurts, and when I do see them, there's usually like a few. So it's probably like, you know, one or two people doing it. You know, they're all near each other, so I don't think it's like a huge issue. It's not like Ion. Bots were everywhere.
Oh, yeah, Ion was terrible. I think bots are in every game. I don't think that you're ever. It's just like gold spammers. You know, you're never gonna completely get rid of them. They're gonna be there. So Tryon updated pet models, right, with this patch too. And God, they just look awesome. When I heard that they were gonna update the pet models, by the way, I thought that they were either going to choose a better PvE monster to replace, you know, the pet, or they were just going to, like, take the same pet concept and just kind of, you know, increase
the textures.
Yeah, like enhance the textures or the resolution or whatever on the pets or something like that. Maybe tweak a couple animations. I didn't think it was going to be a complete overhaul, because, like, the boar and the wolf for the ranger, oh, that wolf looks amazing, and I love the Beastmaster pet, too. What do you think about the new pets, Joe?
I like everything but the Beastmaster pet. And the only reason I hate the Beastmaster pet is because, well, for one, I actually really enjoyed the old pet. I just, you know, we had talked about it previously. I hated how there was, like, no progression from the lesser to greater pet. It was like, wow, he's, like, 10% bigger, that's it. He was a little, people always made a joke that he was a little anorexic. That's fine, but I like his face and his animations and whatnot. But the new one looks like a prairie dog. It's not, like, the other one was so ferocious looking, like, I almost got scared looking at it. And the new one, he has, like, doe eyes. He looks like, he's zoned out. He doesn't look like he'd kill a fly. I really wish they would make it, like, you know.
The old one had, like, bright marbles for eyes, dude, and he was, like, bright purple. How is that ferocious?
Yeah, but his face when was, like, you know, his, like, mouth and whatnot, he looked like he was, like, constantly had a scowl on his face. The new one's like, hey, dude, do you want me to, like, rub your back?
Roll over, boy. I like the new Beastmaster pet a lot, actually. I mean, the quality of the model, like, regardless of if you actually like the art style of the model or not, the quality of the model from the old model is just absurd. It increased, like, it's totally on par with Rift's graphics now.
Well, no, I never had a problem with that. I don't even have a problem with most of the model. I just wish they would, like, change his facial expression and probably change his color, because even, like, the color of it is kind of feminine, to say the least.
It's kind of like a light pink almost, isn't he? Like a really,
yeah,
really light
that's
pink.
That's what I'm saying. If they would change the color and change, like, you know, his face, I'd be perfectly fine with it.
I think it's the hair. I think that's what does it. And I really like the way that cat looks, but it is a little odd. They have, like, this kind of, like, little tuft of, like, troll hair, you know, the old troll toys. That's what it reminds me of.
It's like a little mohawk, like a little tiny mane, and it looks retarded. I hated the trolls. The only thing I ever did with those things was throw against the wall, because I didn't want to play with them.
Oh, dude, I love trolls. Those things were great.
They were so useless. Like, other pets, like, had moving parts, and you could, like, you know, do all the shit with them. That was like, hey, look at me, dude. I'm plastic, and I have retarded hair. All right,
well,
the hair
was the best part, because you know what the hair feels like when you put it on? Never mind. So, they updated the Druid, they updated the Beastmaster, and they updated the Ranger, and they haven't touched Mage. They have said that the Mage is next, so there's a lot of Mages that are... This is where the whole... If you listen to Episode 8, this is where the tears shedding tears, Mages shed tears debate came from, if you heard that at the end of episode 8 episode. If you haven't, you can go listen to that. But a lot of mages were concerned that they didn't have their models yet, but they were also mostly excited because they were like, okay, so when do we get our updates? And they are coming. They're coming soon. Possibly TM, you know, trademark soon. Who knows? But hopefully they're, like, actually soon, like, you know, within the next month or so. Hopefully they're just kind of putting the final touches on them. My question is, they said that they're going to update the mage models next. They said that they did Druid, Beastmaster, and Ranger, but also the wording of it, they said that that all pet models will be getting an update. And the Satyr and the, or Satyr or Satyr, however you want to say it, and the Blood Raptor from the Ranger didn't get an update. So
apparently Troll Hair is pretty hard to put on a Raptor.
They better not put it. If they do put Troll Hair on the Raptor, they'll probably put it between its legs.
Just no.
The wolf looks ridiculous, but with the changes that they made to like the pet damage and contributions to attack power, the reduced cast time on like Shadowfire and Splinter Shot, reduced energy cost. All of this contributed to make a 51 Ranger build that much more viable. I think Marksman's still ahead if you're parsing, you know, full HK Relic Rogue versus full HK Relic Rogue. I think Marksman still is ahead. But the Ranger isn't very far behind, and a bonus to the Ranger is that even though it's pet-dependent, if you're 51 points, your pet's pretty much immune to AoE damage. And the Ranger it's a simpler rotation, it's easier to do, and it is much more mobile because the Marksman only gets its passive damage bonuses if it's standing still, not if it's on the move. So the Ranger doesn't have to worry about standing still for maximum damage. They can stay on the move the whole time, which does give the Ranger some raid presence. But it's a 51-point Ranger, which means you're not going to use the Wolf. You're going to use the Blood Raptor. So I'm a little surprised that they did the Wolf first and not the Blood Raptor, since if you actually are going to run Ranger, it's not going to be the Wolf you're going to be using.
They just make it so pets are cosmetic, quite frankly. I mean, I understand they want certain pets to fill certain roles. Like, that's fine, but, you know, they can make, like, we had talked about maybe, like, the first couple episodes that I wanted more pets. It would be fine for me if, like, they had, like, a bear and, like, a boar. That's your tank choice. But then you basically choose between wolf and raptor. That's your DPS. Like, I really think that, at least for those two pets, it basically should just be, like, whatever you think looks better, you use it.
You know, that's not a bad idea, because with the whole pet model updates coming out, it kind of re-sparked a lot of players' desire to be able to go out and hunt and tame their pets with their rogues or with their rangers.
Yep.
And you would have to completely rework the pet system. I don't think that it's realistic to think that we'll ever be able to tame combat pets in Rift. But you do bring up a good option, is to give players two or three choices for each role of pet that they can do, such as, you know, the Blood Raptor has AoE, whereas the Wolf doesn't, and the Blood Raptor has some self-healing, whereas the Wolf doesn't. The Wolf has some PvP aspects to it, although it probably doesn't stand a chance in PvP, honestly. If you talent for it, which if you're 51 Ranger, then you automatically have this, the Wolf's, I think it's Maul, the bleed, will also put a 50% heal debuff on the target for 10 seconds, and that's a 10-second cooldown on the pet ability. It's basically 100% uptime. But all in all, it really just comes down to what kind of damage are those pets doing. You know, those little small details on between the wolf and the raptor don't really make a huge difference. And seeing as Ranger just really isn't a viable spec for PvP, the whole heal debuff thing is kind of irrelevant. It would be nice to be able to just kind of pick whichever one you wanted, and they were both just on par with each other for damage.
Yeah, I always want like that. I think that's probably fine. I mean, if they added like one pet as an alternative to the boar, which I always wanted because I don't dislike the boar, but, you know, when I think of tank, I don't think of a boar. I think of, like, a bear more so than anything else. Maybe even, like, a turtle.
A turtle?
So, yes.
Wait,
so,
wait. A turtle?
Yeah. In that other game, there was turtle. I used to use it, like, in the old days, the tank. Though I don't mean the testicle mount. I'm not referencing that, because I think it looks retarded.
The two-headed turtle mount in Rift.
Yeah, they look horrible.
It does look like there's a couple testicles coming out of a shell on that thing.
Yeah, add troll hair to that.
Troll. Oh my god. So you were saying?
So yeah, so they had like a turtle, bear, those two, whatever, bear, boar, whatever choice. And then like I said, raptor, wolf. You could even add, like I said, a third choice. Should be purely cosmetic at that point. Because obviously, like, you're not going to have like a bear or a boar DPS. Like, that'd be kind of stupid, honestly. So, yeah, it would make sense, like, if you had... Because that's all the really roles you need in this game. You need a DPS and a tank pet. That's it.
Well, druids have a healing pet.
I'm strictly talking about the ranger. I mean, you could do the same thing for druid, so...
True.
They'd have to do even more so with that, then.
Yeah, I don't know how many different kinds of fairies they could come up with for the druid, though, to have different druid roles.
One with troll hair, one with not.
Yeah, okay, the troll hair thing is dead now, okay?
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'll throw it against the wall, like always.
What the fuck was that? What the hell was that?
I threw a water bottle against the wall. Trying to,
I was like,
you know, troll against the wall.
Yeah, I was like, did he just throw a troll against the wall? Because my next question was going to be, why do you still have a troll on your desk? Because trolls were like 1990.
I like hair.
Well, I can't wait to see what the new mage models look like. I'll tell you that, because I'm pretty tired of the paper mache elemental. It's basically what it looks like. I know that people will talk about the water one all the time, which really isn't even viable, to be honest. I've seen a couple of people use it in PvP, which they're probably just using it for fun, to be honest. Because it does have some nifty tools for PvP usage. But there's zero reason to use a water elemental in PvE.
The twisting hat is horrible. I'm sorry. It's just so terrible.
I don't know what they're going to do with it, though. Like, I'm trying to think.
Obviously
delete the model, you know, and then they'll introduce the new one. But, like, what's the new one going to be? Because when it comes to elementals, right, you think of, like, fire and air as being kind of a transparent element. You know, you can see through them. I don't know what they're going to do for a new model because Rift, the game engine, doesn't seem to handle transparencies very well. It doesn't seem to do any. That's why, like, the River of Souls horse, the ghost horse there, the spectral mount, whatever, the spectral horse, is... It's a solid white horse with like a white mist around it. It looks pretty cool, but it's supposed to be a ghost horse. You know, it's supposed to be like a spirit. So I think that you should be able to see through it, and they probably would have done that, but I don't think the engine can actually do transparencies on models like that.
I'm assuming like they deal with the previous like ranger models one that you'll see in the PTS, and they'll probably base it on feedback. So I don't worry about stuff like that. They'll put it on the, you know, their initial ideas on the PTS when it comes out, and then, you know, based on feedback, you know, they either go further in that direction or scrap it and start over. So I have no concerns about that.
Well, if it's on par with the troll tuft and the wolf, because the wolf just looks so awesome, and the fairy updates that they did, then it's gonna be pretty epic. And the graphics in Rift, the models in Rift, everything in this game, it just keeps getting better. It's amazing, you know, when you really think about it, it's really cool to see a game grow. And usually, when you say to see a game grow, you're talking about class tweaks and math and stats and stuff like that. And it's what players commonly refer to as growing pains. But with Rift, obviously we've seen the growing pains of the game. PvPers are still experiencing a lot of the same growing pains, but in Rift you can actually see the game itself growing. Look at Greenscale's Blight compared to Infernal Dawn. It's obvious that Tryon has acquired new technology and that they're really, you know, they're really using it to its full extent. It just keeps getting better.
Yeah, but I think that all MMOs that do endgame raids like that, their first raids always suck. I just think it's because they basically throw the raid together because they're trying to get the game out. And they basically just want to have like a placeholder, like, here, do this while we create more stuff, basically. And it's not like that they're bad, it's just that they usually lack like inspiration. They're usually like mediocre. They're never bad, they're just like kind of blah.
I don't know. I don't agree with that. I don't think that it's a lack of inspiration. I think it's just a lack of technology, because when the company is first starting out with a new MMO, they have a limited amount of funding to start the game with, so they might not have the money to purchase the technology that they want, or they might just not have advanced their game engine.
I think it has
a lot
more to do with time than money. I just think that they're trying to get the game out, like, period. And they figure, you know, they'll have the luxury of time down the road.
It could be a factor. I mean, in the case of Tryon, they've all played MMOs, and I believe that they have several developers on the team that have worked on other MMOs on the market. I'm not sure which ones. I think they've dropped a couple of names in some random interviews and whatever. But for the most part, I mean, this is Tryon as a company. All of these developers, wherever they came from, all coming together. Tryon as a company, this isn't just their first MMO. This is their first game. And I think it's more just they didn't have the experience and they didn't have the technology to do what they wanted to do, because when you watch the old trailers for like Greenscale's Blight, they're really excited about that place. You know, they're like this, this giant labyrinth rises up out of the ground, and it just it sounds to me like when they're talking about it, you can hear the passion and the excitement in their voice and their pride in this dungeon. And it just sounds like they had this awesome concept that they really, it almost sounds like they wanted to do more with it. They wanted it to look a lot more epic than we might think it looks, you know?
Well, that's exactly why I think time was a factor. I shouldn't have said inspiration earlier. I really shouldn't, because it was, like you said, it really isn't so much lack of concept, it's lack of execution, really. Let's move on to IA.
Yeah, the old land instant adventures are pretty much obsoleted at this point. Or at least that's what some of the forum users seem to think. I love the new Ember Isle instant adventure. You know, my character is fairly well geared. A good majority of our server is very well geared. So I wouldn't say that they're difficult, but they are more difficult than the mainland instant adventures, being Shimmer Sand and Stillmore. And some players are concerned that if you're a fresh 50, or if you're not 50 yet, and you want to do instant adventure starting at 45 like you can, you really don't, you either don't have a lot of help or you have a really long wait to get into doing the Stillmore and the Shimmer Sand stuff. I haven't noticed a wait, but I have noticed, I've joined a Stillmore instant adventure about 3 or 4 o'clock, I think, this morning, which would be about midnight or 1 for Pacific time, which means, or the server time, which means that a lot of the late night players on Deepwood would be on doing that stuff. And there was only 3 people in my group in Stillmore. So I think it's a valid concern, really.
They might have to rework how the Shimmer Stand. I just combined 2 zones. I'm just so pro like that.
Shimmer Stand.
Anyway, Shimmer Stand, Stillmore, IA's work in that, you know, like you said, it really is never a lack of time, or too much time, I should say, because how IA's work, they'll basically put you with anyone, even if it's one other person. So they might have to make it so that, you know, there's a minimum amount of people, because I've had cases, like, recently, prior to the day I think 1.8 came out, maybe the following day, I queued up for the old ones out of curiosity, because I just read one of those threads, you know, expressing those concerns, and put me with a guy with a group of one other person, and I was like, seriously? And when some of the objectives are pretty rough, 2 people, to be honest.
Think about what this feature is called. Instant adventure. And I think right now, you have one of those. You have the instant part. And then you're not getting much adventure out of it because there's not enough people that are going to be there. And it kind of raises the concern about what's going to happen to, maybe not as much, because you won't have as big of a mix between sub-50s and level-50s with, like, Free March Instant Adventure as you do with Stillmore and Shimmer Sand Instant Adventure. But when they do introduce the Instant Adventures to the other zones, is it, you know, is there going to be enough people to even do these?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to constantly have this problem. I think what they should do, I mean, I think there's a couple of things you can do. You can either, one, make it so that this is a separate option, so it's, like, random what you get, or make separate dailies. You know how there's going to do 7 of Instant Adventure. It doesn't matter what you do, though, so everyone's going to do Embra, because you get, like, extra rep, you get more money from looting stuff, there's better potential drops, etc. So if there was a separate daily specifically, you know, to entice people to do the mainland areas, that'd be fine. Or you could even eventually, when they implement, like, you know, another 4 or 5 mainland areas, they can make all those grouped into one. So it's like, you know, Embral is one, and then the other instant adventure is like Stonefield, Scarlet Gorge, Shimmer Sand, Stillmore, or something to that effect.
I don't know. I think you might have touched on the possible cause of this, and that is the fact that you can go to Ember Isle specifically, but Shimmer Sand and Stillmore are, you know, the same. And if they follow that trend, then that's what it's going to be. It's going to be like, you're going to have like Free March and Gloamwood on like the same one. And then there'll be like Scarlet Gorge and Scarwood, or Scarwood and Iron Pine. Or actually, Iron Pine will probably get lumped into Shimmer Sand and Stillmore. But doing it by the tiers like that, you kind of have to, but then at the same time, allowing people to choose which zones they want to go to is going to leave others, it's just inevitable, it's going to leave other zones with less participation. and then it's called Instant Adventure. So you don't want to do it with a queue. You don't want there to be a queue for this. You don't want it to be that you queue up for Instant Adventure and you have to wait for 10 people to fill it, because then it's not Instant Adventure. It's
not like doing
a dungeon. Yeah,
this is a hard one. I mean, like I said, they can make it random. I really think that they can just make specific dailies. I mean, I think that's the only alternative. If you use separate dailies, people at least certain parts of the day, prime times during the day, you'll have full groups for it. You still have primes, you know, when it's not prime times, like 2 or 3 in the morning, where you're not going to get it, but at least during prime times, you can get it out of the way.
I said we'll get to this, and I definitely want to make sure that we have the chance to cover this. The Firewing doesn't appear to be all that difficult. Now, we're not in Infernal Dawn, so we can't make an accurate judgment, really, on the difficulty of this. But I'll tell you, if you look at riftstrats.com, okay, which seems to be the popular, might be the only place right now that's actually tracking raid progression, the top 20 guilds there have already cleared everything. Voodoo, Addiction, and I think it's 32, XLII, have cleared all the current content in the first day. Addiction and XLII show their conclave kill or their council kill as being on April 19th, not the 18th. I believe that's because their kill was actually after midnight, and that's why it's showing up as the 19th. So it was basically in the same raid session. Like, these guys loaded up and just killed everything. Voodoo has hard mode council down, and I'm sure they're not the only one, but they're the only one that I could confirm that had the hard mode council down. So this stuff only lasted a week, and now they're talking about they're going to unlock the next gate of content on this upcoming Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. They're going to unlock the Earth Wing, which everybody's saying is much harder than the Fire Wing, but there's only two bosses in there. I still don't think that's going to last more than a week. I think that's only going to last one raid lockout.
First of all, last week we had talked about we didn't really like this at all, mainly because, like, it just didn't seem like a big enough reason to delay content. You know, there had to be, like, some, you know, secondary reason that they're just not admitting, whether it's, like, the content's not done or something to that effect. Now, that's good and all, even if it was, like, that was purely the reason they did it. My other concern is, like, they said the main reason it was because they wanted competition, so, you know, like, 2 months down the road, we can like be like, oh man, that fight to the end for the content was so like fun to watch. But I really don't see that happening because, you know, one, it's not going to be like, you know, we're watching a sport game and we get to overtime and so on. It's going to be like 20 guilds, like you just said, clear in a day. So it's like, wow, I beat you by 3 minutes. Like, that's not really like, they wouldn't really care. Plus, it's not like everyone's starting at the exact same time and finishes raids. And everyone has different raid times. That's why some people are behind. Some people, you know, live in different hours, time zones, etc. So, and that, then people clear it, and then they wait, like, 5 or 6 days till the thing to get unlocked. So by that point, everything you just, like, were paying attention to 5 or 6 days ago, I should say, is completely irrelevant. No one even remembers it anymore. So, honestly, I actually, this is worse than what I surmised it was going to be like last week, to be honest.
I actually saw a couple of couple of posts from some members of Voodoo, or one member of Voodoo, and there were a couple other of the hardcore raiders from the top guilds posting in this thread on the official Rift forums that was talking about world firsts and crediting people with world firsts and how, you know, they go for it, but I think it's like a instinct that's left behind. You know, it's part of the fun to kind of race down the content and try and beat other people, but at the same time, when you're talking about actually looking at a site like Rift Strats and seeing, like, you know, who got the server first and everything like that, or who got the world first and all that, they were saying that, like, it doesn't really matter that much. Like, nobody really cares that much about the world firsts in Rift right now. I think that people do care to an extent. I just don't think that it's what we're used to seeing from raiding. I don't think it's what we expect to see from raiding, where, because the content just isn't hard enough, you know what I mean? Like, it's not meaningful enough. It's not like in the old days where you could spend a month trying to kill one boss, and then finally you get it, and it's just, you know, screaming in vent, like, yeah, you know? I mean, people get excited if you watch, like, these Achilles kill videos and stuff. They get excited about it, but it's not the same thing.
Well, I think that, and I think the gating the content hurts too, because if they never gave the content and like you want to keep up with the other guild, you want to be like, oh, they're, you know, 6 out of 11, whatever. Oh, we're 5 out of 11. Let's catch up. Now it's like, oh, they killed 2 bosses. Well, we've killed 1. Okay, an hour later we killed both. Okay, let's sit around for like a week. Okay, new stuff unlocked. Rinse, repeat.
Yeah, it's a race down to the minute now because there is no, that you can't go through the entire dungeon. So like you said, there is no, you know, 5 out of 7 and 4 out of 7 and 6 out of 7 kind of thing. It's more like 1 out of 3 and 3 out of 3. Okay, now everybody's 3 out of 3. The next gate unlocks. Go.
See, yeah, that would have been cool if like people were catching up at the very last minute to get the third boss. But like you said, the content isn't hard enough. It's not meaningful enough. So people aren't like, you know, doing this at the very last second, like spending endless hours, like, oh my god, we gotta get this boss done. It's like, okay, we did our 2 raid nights a week, and the bosses are dead. Okay, let's wait now until next week to raid.
You know, isn't there a speedrun thing that shows up now whenever you start raids and dungeons? Doesn't it say speed timer?
Yeah,
speedrun timer started.
Yeah, there's like a marker in each instance, so as soon as you get to it, it'll actually say across your screen.
So I wonder if that's actually recording the exact time that people do. Because, you know, that would be a really fun thing to do with the leaderboards, to be honest, is to record people's kill times. Because that would be a fun competition. Then once ID's all done, then you start racing for speed kills on, say, Maleforge, and it shows up on the leaderboard, and you can constantly try to beat the other guild's kill timers. That would be fun.
Yeah, that would definitely add another element to it. Though I don't know if it currently tracks it. You know, like it tracks to an extent, like, so if you beat the timer, but if you go over the timer, you know, something like that, I don't think it goes anything beyond that. So they'd have to expand upon the current system, but yeah, that's not a hard thing, I don't think.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about. Was I think there is a speed clear, you know, timer, and you have to make a certain time to get the speed clear, and then it's how many times have you done the speed clear, I think, is what's actually on the leaderboard. It's not how fast you did the speed clear. I just hope that the Earthwing is a lot harder than the Firewing. It's fun even for people who aren't raiding, I think, to see what the hardcore guilds are doing. And when they blow through all the current content in one night, that kind of tells me why stuff's gated right there, because they probably blow through everything all the way up to the dragons.
Yep, and they did the hard mode already too. And you know, you almost look at the hard mode like, oh man, that's going to be like, you know, excruciating, and it's dead. It's like,
well, I mean,
oh.
These guys are, like, ridiculously geared. You know, these guys are in full relics, full everything. Best in slot, every
slot. Oh, yeah,
slot.
I don't doubt that. It just, you know, I still don't think, except that it'd be, like, 2-3 A's, though.
I don't suspect that, even if we were in full Herminal Epics, let's say, I don't suspect that we'd blow through it in one sitting, or in one raid session like that, even if we sat down for 5 hours, and raided for 5 hours straight.
Yeah.
But we could probably get it in like 3 nights in a week, or maybe 2 weeks tops, and that feels too fast. 2 weeks for like an average player to be able to go through the first 3 bosses, because there's only 7. Maybe the dragons are just going to be a roadblock. Maybe these guys are just going to hit a brick wall on Lathis. I guess we'll see. There is no official word from Tryon if it is going to be every Saturday that they unlock something. But the next unlock will be this Saturday, April 28th at 11 o'clock in the morning, Pacific time.
And it's a very strange time, by the way, and day.
I don't know. I'm okay with it being on Saturday. People will have the day off. They're doing it early in the morning. Although I think it's a lot later for EU players, I think, because they're going to unlock it worldwide. Everybody, they're going to lock all at the same exact time so that everybody can go, you know, for the race, like, out of the gate. But that's like, I think that's like 7 o'clock.
Yeah, Europe. but it's like common knowledge that almost everyone raids on weekdays, like Tuesday, Wednesday or something. Who raids on Saturdays? So they're almost like forcing you to raid on a non-raid night.
I think the hardcore guilds do that anyways, dude, to be honest. When the content comes out, they're there. Like as soon as it comes out, that's a raid day.
Yeah.
You know, when they're doing progression, that's a raid day. Every day is a raid day until you kill
no,
it.
I don't doubt that, but I'm saying though, like, what's the difference? Why don't they just make it Tuesday or something, or Wednesday rather, when the servers reset? Like, sure, the hardcore guilds are gonna jump at it as soon as it comes out, but why would you make them raid another day? You know,
well, I don't think that they're just doing it for, you know, the top 3 or the top 5 that they, you know, these are the the top three are like the guilds that they invite to come test this stuff. I don't think that Tryon is doing this gated stuff, this trying to do this gated race just for those top three guilds that they invite to the PTS. I think that they're doing it. They want everybody to have a fair shot at it. And so Saturday is a good neutral day where they're like, okay, most people should have this day off, can wake up at 11 o'clock in the morning or, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever, you know, and be ready to go. And then as soon as the stuff opens, boom, like everybody's out the gate. So if you and me were geared enough for Infernal Dawn, we could have a shot at this race too. Which is kind of a fun idea, is to think that maybe we can beat Voodoo. You know, I mean, yeah, right. But we have the chance to do it, basically. Tryon has given us a chance, and I think that's a good thing. So good luck this upcoming Saturday to those that are going back into Infernal Dawn. Good luck to those that are still working on Firewing. And I think that's all we got this week.
Yep, just troll hair is left.
Troll hair, well, yep, we will leave you shave off that troll hair and make your pussy look better.
No comment, but name the episode Troll Hair, please.
I'll name it Troll Hair. Rift Overcast is recorded every Wednesday night and aired every Friday morning of each week. We're always looking for new guest hosts to be part of Community Voice, so if you have extensive experience or are especially passionate about any area of Rift, we want to have you on the show. Simply contact us with your desired topics. Overcast can now be found on Stitcher Radio as well. Visit www.stitcher.com to download the app or simply add us to your existing list. Stitcher is a great way to listen to Overcast on any of your mobile devices, such as your iPhone, iPod, or Zoom. You can contact Overcast via our email at riftovercast@gmail.com. Find us on YouTube at youtube.com/riftovercast. And on Twitter at RiftOvercast. As always, we want to hear your comments and questions regarding both the show and the game, so be sure to leave us a comment below, and we will see you next week.